lift your hands. Thank God, what are you all waiting for? Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you today, Father, for your anointing, your spirit, your Kadosh Ruach, the spirit of your life. We thank you for your mighty manifestation in the midst of your house, whereby thy name is called upon. For you declared unto Solomon that you will put your name in the house. There is where your name shall be. Yet this is a generation of mystic worship. What is the Father's name? Who is this one that they call, quote, God, unquote? For the Muslims call him Allah Akbar. God is great. What is thy name? Above all things, we want to know your name. For you're mightier than a God. For David declared amongst the gods there is none like you. You're mightier than a God. You are the creator of all things, Yahweh. Your sure Messiah declared that I came in my Father's name. He said, if another come in his own name, you will receive. But because I tell you I'm the son of Yahweh, to a rebellious house of your dads, the Jewish remnant, for they reject that, for they were adamant opposed against that profound truth. Yahweh, you did not give him an English name. You gave him a name that is above all names. It's not a Greek name or a Latin name. You gave him a name from the roots of the Aramaic, the Hebrew language. And the name of a man never changed, Father. It can never be translated. It can only be transliterated. So we thank you for the blood of Yahshua, Lamb, the salvation of Yahweh, the Yahshak, the Savior of Yahweh. I bless you, and I thank you, Father, for Messiah declared when thou prayest, you pray our Father, which art in heaven. He said, hallowed, holy and reverent is thy name. What is your name, Father? I pray your anointing rest upon the house today. The service. You open our hearts to hear what thus saith Yahweh. And that the profoundness of your utterance by your spirit will intrigue the heart and crucify every component of flesh. We ask it. Messiah's wonderful name. Touch us all, I pray. Those that gather today on your Shabbat, wherever they are, Father, bless them. Your sure mighty name. We ask for all things. And the saints declare with a hearty hallelujah, Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. I do give him thanks for all things. As I looked at the beauty of that tree, the vivid colors, and the profound character of it, as the old folks would say, there must be a God somewhere, unquote. I would say that there is a mighty creator. He has done all things in the splendor of his power. He intends for men to know him, not by some hybrid terminology or some title. He wants to be known as our Father. And he has a name. Theology and religion has shaped the minds today whereby there is only one aspiration. It is a carnal aspiration. There's no desire to please Yahweh. For he often shows us our sins and our degenerate minds. The mindset of this nation, And the world is corrupt, is vile, is an evil mind. It is not one that loves truth, nor does it love Yahweh. For Yahweh begins to reveal those things that are most intimate in our hearts, as he did with Israel in the house of Judah. As he showed them their sins, they rebel. For he declared that this is a rebellious house. It is one that operates in witchcraft. For rebellious is as the sin of witchcraft. It is a sorcery spirit today that controls the minds and the hearts of men today. The reason why is because they reject truth. Messiah says, I tell you the truth. Now you desire to kill me. Show me my sins. Show me what I've done wrong. Show me the penalty that I must pay for the transgression if it's against the will of Yahweh. And so what religion does, it brings about an euphoric to the flesh. It makes men feel good that they are worth actually more than what you always say that they are. For all flesh is as grass. And as the grass withereth, so shall the flesh as well. And so man in this hour, he perceived that his worth is of a great value. He think that he is supreme. He has changed ordinance, laws, the constitute of Yahweh. He commands us to remember the Shabbat and keep it free from the contamination or the contamination of the world. And what men will say, well, that was for the Yordams, the Jews. Well, then you can go murder and commit adultery, for that is not for you as well. For the laws of Yahweh never change. Messiah said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And so it is this surmising by this Jezebel. She is known as the harlot of harlots. She produced sorcery. And so she has gone about to change the very ordinance, the statutes, the laws and the structure of Yahweh. Men are very ignorant. This is a very unteachable generation. For they are arrogant. They are proud. They are haughty. So no one can tell them anything at all today. They know everything. This is a generation of massive transfusion of knowledge. You can find it anywhere. Yet it has no power at all, for it does not bring about life, nor does it stimulate life at all. He is always searching and looking for another avenue to appease his carnal mind and his fleshly aspirations. That is not what the Spirit of Yahweh does. The Word of Yahweh is quick, is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So he does not at all intends for flesh to have any kind of sensation when he speaks unto man. He speaks unto us to crucify our flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. And now what this Jezebel has done, she has duplicated the spirit throughout the land. And their whorehouse is feeding doctrines of whoredom. First of all, they deny the Father. You cannot deny Yahweh. The Son prayed to what? And he knew his Father. What son would not know his Father's name? What people are we to declare that he is our Father, but yet he has no name? And the theologians know because of the surmising of hell, they will not tell the people the truth. They keep them in religious bondage. and fleshly aspiration. So no one is willing to sell and to give all and to strive to enter in. But a man strive, do you understand that? He lays aside every hindrance that impedes him from moving into that perfect dynamics of the place whereby literally the Father can talk to him. We can say with our self-righteous spirit that your way is talking lies. Not so. This is a corrupt generation. If we cannot hear the blood of the Son speech, then we cannot hear him. We hear our own minds and our own imaginations, our own self-righteousness, but he is not speaking to this wicked generation. He has in sundry times, he spoke by the holy prophets. Now in this hour, he speaks by the excellency or the sealed declaration of his word. And the Spirit of Yahweh, the Kudush Ruah, will only testify of what has been said and what has been spoken. He needs to prepare his people for the great calamity that is about to face the earth and this nation as a whole. For her sorceries and her sins, she shall pay the price. I know what these lying preachers, for the scripture calls them dogs. They're lying dogs. They're greedy dogs. They love to slumber and sleep. They will not warn them against the impending destructions of Yahweh. And has lured America into this self-righteous type of drunkenness. That she literally thinks that she's right in every kind of conceivable fire wicked thing is being done in what they call, or we call, quote, the church, unquote. There is no reverence of the things that are pure and righteous. There's no exhortation of the pure laws of Yahweh. Messiah did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill them. Tell me which one of these laws are not relevant in this hour. Then what is the Father's name? For he has a name. And his name is genuine. And it describes who he is. Religion will never tell you that. Religion is a seductive whore. That's what she is. She seduces. And she draws men into blindness. Whereby there is no ability to see or any perception to discern. Now that's what religion does. And that is what the mother of all whores have done. She has produced her daughters, her Protestantites, and they have all kinds of gods. For Satan, Shaltan said unto Adam and Eve in the beginning, he declared unto them, you must understand that he was a cherubim. Scripture calls him that. He said, the day that you disobey Yahweh, you'll become as a god. You'll become God. Well, what constitutes a god? He says, knowing the difference between good and evil. And so this nation has become a god unto herself. And she has her powers, her princes, her rulers, the Baptists rule in their sphere, the Pentecostals in their sphere, the Methodists, and they all have their own gods because you cannot appease the Methodist God by short oblations unto the Baptist God. And so they use a generic expression, I love God. Who is your God? For the Muslims declare Allah Akbar, and that is simply God is great. What is their God's name? For the Hindus have 325 million gods, and they all have names. It is only his name that expresses infinite power, and that's Yahweh. And the Son came in that name. He does not possess a Latin, Greek, an American name. He was born in Jerusalem. He was born in a place whereby there was no English or English language spoken. And the name never changed. No, the name never changes. He did not come in Jesus, for that is what Jesus translated from the Greek text. It is Jesus. When the J only came into existence 400 years ago, it cannot be. He came in the same name as his father. And the name Yahshua is the salvation of Yahweh. The word Christ simply means an anointed one or the perfumed one. Has nothing to do with Yahweh. And so the idioms of paganism have been infused in what we call, quote, Christianity. And yet the leaders of the nations, they know that. In Bethlehem, can any decent thing come out of that place? Yet because of our religious practices, we shun truth. Men do not study. They will take a scripture and read for a moment, but there is no seriousness to studying. When a man truly studies, he begins to channel that inner knowledge that Yahweh begins to supply him with. It takes him to a greater level and a greater height of revelation and understanding. And all you hear in this hour is the year of the blessings, the year of prosperity, the year of much, the year of good. What about the vengeance of Yahweh? What about the wrath of Yahweh that shall be poured out upon a wicked and rebellious generation? They will say, God is love, but what God is of love? The scripture says in this book, there were two twins, yet unborn. One was called Yaakov, Jacob, and the other was called Esau. And the scripture says, yet Yahweh, or God, he loved Yaakov, Jacob, and he hated Esau. And he still hates today, too. He still hates. And so we have this one-dimensional type person, or personality, that we can do whatever we want to. There are no rules, no laws. How can any kingdom be established without rules? How can Yahweh, or the one that we call, quote, God, possess an authoritative power in a kingdom if there are no rules? And we do what we speculate or perceive to be right. There are statutes, judgments, laws, and rules in the kingdom. And that is why you have this discombobulation of mindset and religions that creep up every day. And they all stem from their own rebelliousness and their sin. And they will not go to Scripture and see what Scripture says. I want to read from the book that you possess, or that you hold in your hand, and the one that we think we literally know. Yet we know very little. We got time for everything but Scripture. We don't even question our intent. We will question the matter of Yahweh. Or when we want to instruct us in the righteous truth, we will question that. But our own intentions, we don't even question that. Whether they're right, whether they're wrong. I believe this, that if a man truly delights himself in the law and the truth of Yahweh, he will impart into that man a desire that is pure. Our desires are corrupt. They're filled with fleshly desires. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. That's not his anointing. When a man constantly gravitates to the world and there's a desire for the abundance of this seductive world somewhere, something in his spiritual mind, there's a fault there. How can you love him? When he declared to the rich young ruler, go sell that thou hast. When he asked Messiah, good ruler or teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? And Messiah retorted, he said, what does the law says? That's what he says. To love your neighbor, thou shalt not covet, thou and thy father and thy mother. He quoted the last six commandments unto that young rich ruler. And he said to him, I'll kept all of that. Now that's what this generation does. It loves that. He said, I've kept all that. And Messiah said, you like one thing. Now if you truly trust the Father, that you can trust him with an abundance or with anything at all. For he is the same. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs unto him. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are his. He said, I tell you what, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor.
And he said, and by the way, when you do that, come and follow me. The scripture says he went away, the rich young ruler. He went away very sorrowful, for he had much. He had the cares of this life. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, which choke out the word of Yahweh. And what we have today is a spirit of hypocrisy, a religious spirit to say they love, but it's no love. They simply love their own. The love of Yahweh is not that way. He tells you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He did not tell you to love your mother no more. He told you to love another one's mother. For who is my mother, Messiah said? Who is my brother? Those that do the will of my Father. He told you to honor your father and your mother. And thy days shall be long upon the land Yahweh giveth thee. Yet man honors that commandment. But what about the third commandment? Does thou shalt not take the name, what is his name? The name of Yahweh in vain. And a man does that, he shall not be held guiltless. All of his commandments are true. What about the fourth one? To remember the Shabbat and keep it holy. Yet, these men today, they will do all they can to bring attention to their natural fleshly types of aspiration. And say, we have the Ten Commandments posted. Well, what about what it says? Will you do that? You must understand that the letter killeth. But the Spirit is what brings life. Yahweh is the same. His laws will never change. And the kingdom shall be that way. He doesn't need to change it. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He will never change. Theology has corrupted man more than anything. It has. When Shaul, a very mighty man, Paul, Shaul, when he was led by the Spirit of Yahweh, he was led for 13 years to divest himself of all of his ritualistic processes and the learnings that he had learned, that he would be endowed with the Spirit to speak what the Father says. He did not confer with Kephar, Bartholomew, Yochanan, John, Matthias, Matthew. He conferred with the Spirit. Yahweh empowered him with the anointing that he must suffer many things for his namesake before the Gentiles and also for the Yardims, to the Jews. His desire that all Israel be saved. That was Saul's desire. In all Israel. And so there was no one there on their knees praying for him that day on Damascus Road. If anything, Father, destroy him. And yet he was going to waste the saints. Why? Do you understand why? Because he had heard they began to call upon the name of Yahweh. And amongst the Yardims, the Jews, you didn't do that. For his name was too sacred. That's why they know today these folks that say his name is Yeshua. Those, they know that that can't be. It can't be. There's only one that saves. And we know salvation is of Yahweh. Yahweh is the only one that can say. Messiah is the hope of Israel. For he came in the anointing of the Father to give us hope of this great King that we pray to. How do we pray? Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed. Your name is holy. Your name is reverent. That's the way you pray. We pray to the Father. We pray to Yahweh. Even Messiah himself, when all this is finished, he will submit unto the Father. He was a man. He was a M-A-N. Is there anything greater than that? Then what power and strength did thus give us? None. He had to come in the body of flesh as a man. And that is what he was. Theology teaches something different because I know what it teaches. I know what scriptures they use too. They're blind, leading the blind. I want to read something. The scripture says in Revelation. Because I want to express something to us today concerning the few that you're always truly going to say. There's only a few. Well, is it this little house? No. It's not some little collection of people that have amassed themselves together. They form their own little doctrine. And think that they are the only ones. Well, they all think that. You have no consensus amongst the fellowship with the First Baptist and the Southern Baptist. You have no consensus with the Methodists or the Episcopals. You have no consensus with the Lutherans or the Presbyterians. Say what you will or you may. And they all got a certain form or a ritual, the way they serve, quote, God. And if you do not conform to that, then you're not worshiping. Messiah said that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He did not say, I seek. He said, but the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And they worship today in lies and hypocrisy. You can't truly worship when you deny the Shabbat. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Does that change? If that one changed, then this one changed too. Then I can commit adultery. They are the same. They are the spoken word of Yahweh. It is what religion has done. No, I don't have to go and look upon a table of stone to see what the law says. He has written the covenant in the heart of man and in the inward part. But theology doesn't teach that. It teaches us to change the ordinance of Yahweh. He has not changed one thing at all. Joel said, you know that I am carnal, soul unto sin, but the law is spiritual. And these corrupt men don't teach you today. Why? Because they have one agenda, most of them. It's filthy lucres. They live like kings in their palaces. They live very sumptuous lifestyles, which is wicked. It is not of Yahweh. They are lazy and they are not spiritually apt to truly teach and to lead the people. When Jethro said unto Moshe, you need help with this. Yet there was a criteria of those men that he called the elders of the house of Israel. There were men that had wisdom and understanding. There were men that had the spirit of Yahweh. There were men that had an upstanding character and their lives were exemplary before the people. They knew exactly who they were. That they could give charge unto that house and give them the instruction of Almighty Yahweh. And the Father took the spirit from Moses and he placed it upon the elders. And they began to speak and prophesy by the power of Almighty Yahweh. And it must be so today, saints. There are all kinds of God. You say, well, I know my God because I spell it with a capital G. Well, that's what the Muslims say. Do you think the word Allah means the name of God or that's the name of their God? Allah is Aramaic, simply meaning God is great. Allah Akbar. What God are the Muslims praying to? What God are we praying to? Messiah came to teach us the way of Almighty Yahweh. You can't even come even to the Son unless the Father draw you to the Son. Now, I know you don't know what the Scripture says after that. Because we're not a people that give our hearts over unto Scripture. I know you don't know what it says. I will show you what it says. But I want to read something in Revelation. It says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. What a profound statement. I believe all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Almighty Yahweh. And it is profitable for doctrine. It did not say some Scripture. All Scripture. Can I ask you all a question? Even Messiah there from Nazareth. The question was asked, can there be any decent thing that come out of Nazareth? Is there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is there anything? Because of where he was born, there was nothing of importance or value that came from there. No profound prophet, yet hear the birth of this Messiah, the hope of Israel, walking in the decadence of their sins and their wickedness, like this nation. It is a very sumptuous, wicked, greedy, unrighteous nation. And she exalts herself in her self-righteousness by her deeds, her philanthery, her good, and she perceives she's good, not so. It's a house that is divided. It's corrupt. It's wicked. It doesn't know the truth of Yahweh. And that's the truth. I don't care if a man spends 10 years in college. Those are the Catholic diocese and order. They spend many years studying hermeneutics and hermeneutics. History. And yet they have no pure revelation of his truth. For the man understands that he's free from every bondage of the world. He's free. He's free from everything. He's not dictated to by the world. he's free to serve Yahweh. For the spirit of Yahweh is there's liberty. For whom the Son makes free, he's free indeed. Well, whose charge did the Son come with? He came with the charge of the Father. Who is the Father? We must know who the Father is. And he has a name. And that's the truth. He has a shame, a name. Scripture says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, I want to read this because I want to share something with us today. I pray to Yahweh that it bless you. It says this. Yokohana, John says, after this, he said, I look. And lo, he said, there was a great multitude. Now, I know what men say they use that expression. But if you actually do a little research and understand the archaic or the meaning of that word. And there's one thing about this Babylonian language that we have. It distorts. It does not bring a pure perception to what things you're actually trying to describe. It really doesn't. Because there are so many words that use in different forms, verbs, adverbs, that sound the same, but yet they mean different things. Will you go to the store for me? I have two what? T-W-O. I will go to. Even the expression and the sentence, grammatics, it distorts things. And so what the world says that we saw a multitude, this massive multitude. Can I ask you a question? If you saw 100 million people, do you actually think you could put a number on that? You think even man could put a number on that? And if you actually read the scripture, what it says, you have understanding with clarity. I'll read it slowly so we can understand. It doesn't take a revelation from an anointed man of Yahweh. It's just simply, in all of thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But you need to have discernment. This is what it said. He said, and I looked. That's what he said. I began to see, look at a ram that was not a natural ram, what he was saying. He said, and to my amazement, there was a great multitude. Because Yahweh had marked the 144,000, those that have not contaminated themselves with religious practices and worldly things. And then he said, whoa, when I saw 12,000 out of each tribe of the house of Israel, I saw another multitude. I saw a number. I saw a people, a multitude. He says, which no man could number. If one man saw them, or if a man saw them, he could not even number that. Now today we have Pacifics, the satellites, that can number a crowd of 10 million people, of 300 million people, of 500 million people. But out of the magnitude of the world's population, there's going to only be a small remnant that's going to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And scripture is evident of that. Well, he came to save everyone. No, he did not. He did not come to save everyone. And everyone is not going to be saved. If that's the case, then this one that you call God, quote, this one that you call Lord Jesus, quote, then he is a deceiver and a liar. For there are many that have died and gone on. So he did not. He did not. If that was the case, then he destroyed the whole world. And the scripture said he saved a few. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, 8 souls he saved. They died by the millions in Africa, in India, and in this nation without any strength of his knowledge. And the televisions and radios, they proliferate with all kinds of doctrines and preaching. They all do. And yet folks are dying, one every 8 seconds they're dying in this nation. And you tell me they're all going into the kingdom? See, you understand that's what religion teaches us. How do you tell which God a man is talking about if they're both talking about God? The Muslims, they have become so precise in their proselytizing, they don't even use Allah. They don't use the Aramaic term. They say, well, we love God. The Hindus say they love God. Well, their God is spelled with a small g. Well, if you look that up in your Webster dictionary, search the etymology of it, you'll find out. And it makes no difference whether it's a god or a goddess. It's still the same meaning. It all carries the same meaning. That's what it does. Well, Pastor Roberts, you're finagling. No, I'm just telling us the truth. We must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. And Messiah came to bring the worship of Yahweh to his throne and before his feet. He's the mighty creator. He intended to be worshipped. And he is going to be worshipped. Oh, yes. That's why he said, let us, what he said to the Malachs or the angels, he said, let us make man in our image. The scripture says in John, they all love to quote that, but it said that the Word was made. The Word was made. Messiah was made from the bosom of a woman. He was made flesh. That's what scripture says. We can change that all we want to. Pastor Roberts, you're preaching something strange. I know how our doctrines are today. I preached 27 years. And I've touched on all of them. I know what they all teach. The apostolics, the Baptists, the Methodists. And I know how they construe truth. We truly don't need any man to teach us anything. When we truly get the fire of His Spirit, the power of the anointing. For the Spirit of Yahweh will teach us all things. That's what Yahweh always intended to be. We're His children. He intended to teach us. He intended to put His Spirit in us to teach us. Not this trash, what they call the Spirit. Folks running around like animals, all disorganized. That's not the Spirit. Hollering all the... When I was in Africa, they did that. When I was there in Kenya, they did that. You can hear them from the distance. Sound to me like they call upon some foreign spirit. When the power of the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, they spoke in languages or tongues that men understood what they said. Not this gibbling and ditterish talk. That's not the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh is not foolish. And I know what our religion does to us. It will close our minds just like it did with the Yordims, the Jews. That's why their minds are closed today. They're not going to enter in but by the hope of Messiah. We cannot enter into the presence of Yahweh but through the hope of Yahshua, the Messiah, the hope of Yahweh. That's what He is. And He is not just some anointed one. He is the anointed one of Yahweh. And that's why it is an express. That's why He expressed His name the way He did. For He is the salvation of Yahweh. He said, I saw a number that no man could number. You can even number 100,000 people out here. You can number 1 million people. So what they use that expression, that there are so many people. Do you understand that America, the population, is 291 million people? And they all declare that they know God. That's what they say. They all say they know God. They all say they know God. Those that are the prostitutes of Hollywood to deceive your sons and daughters, they will tell you they know God. And they will tell you that Jesus is the homeboy too. They will say those kinds of things. But there's a name that is above all names. Well, Pastor Roberts, what are you saying? We have all done things that are so pagan. You celebrate Christmas. It is a pagan feast day. It is not the day of Yahweh. No one scripture where He told us to celebrate His birthday. Well, that's what we want to do. You're a rebellious house. Yeah, Christmas is pagan. Easter is pagan. Isn't this something? Because this is such an ignorant generation. They won't search. They won't study. They just rebel and reject truth. Christmas, all the aspirations of it is pagan. Everything about it is pagan. It is not of Yahweh. He gives us feast days, and yet man will not keep them. He did not give us pagan days like that. He did not. He did not give us Easter. Come on, how could Messiah die on a Friday and get up on Sunday? He couldn't be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Who changed the worship gathering on the Shabbat to the first day? Well, Catholicism. Records will show you they did that. And yet this wicked generation, because of her daughters, these Protestant whores, they won't speak against that. Because if they do that, they would say that their mother is a whore. Don't tell me they're not going to do those things. Because they are going to do that. They're going to change things, and they're changing things today. Sure they are. I say with any man, let's sit down in Scripture. And let us see what Scripture says. It's so simple what Scripture says. He did not intend for this book to be complicated. It's not a complicated book. It's not a book that complicates things. Religion has. And so you began to touch your doctrine, and you get a little... Folks get a little warm. They get a little upset. They get a little perturbed. I want to know the truth. That's all. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Because it's the truth that makes you free. Messiah spoke a doctrine that was against what the Yordim, the Jews, spoke. And that's why they sought to kill Him. They sought to kill Him. Because He said, I come in the Father's name. And that was a no-no to take that third commandment. Do not take the Father's name in vain. They did not even use it. And that's so today. Oh, they do know that His name is Yahweh. And they would tell you. But yet they will not use it. They know you can never get your cure out of Jesus. It can never come that way. Do a little research on the letters or alphabet systems of the world. And you will see that the letter J, I have in my possession a copy of the 1611 King James original text. If that was the scripture or one anointed by Yahweh, and that's what I have right here. I have the old, what they call the authorized version. If that text is one that Yahweh put his seal on, then where is the Apocrypha? And the name Jesus will not even spell with a J, and they're spelled with an I. Jesus. Why those things? Why don't we use that? What about the book of wisdom and Tobit? What about all those books in the Apocrypha? Why don't we use that? Tell me. Tell me. And all those things are there. And if you go to the front page where it goes from the old to the new, you will see the name of the Father there in Hebrew letters, Yahweh. And they knew his name. So they replace it with the Lord. You would tell people, look up the word Lord. They're so lazy, they won't look it up. It's a lazy generation, the word Lord. We got a Webster dictionary. If you look it up, you will see it means Baal. Baal means Lord. Baal. Baal worship. And so that's why everybody call them their Lords. Here are two praying together. This one got sin and corruption in his heart, lusting after this one's wife. He wants this one's wife, and they're praying, and yet they don't come before the altar of Yahweh, confess their sins, lay their gifts down at the altar, that they may get their hearts right. They don't do that. You got your Lord, I got my Lord. You got your God, I got my God. That's wickedness. There's only one mighty one. And he was revealed through the hope of Messiah, Yahshua, the Lamb. He was revealed through that hope and no other hope. And that's the truth. My prayer is that people would take time and study scripture. The only thing they need is a good dictionary and a faithfulness unto the Father. They hear things and they say, okay, that's right. It's according to my doctrine. By name. When they hear something that is totally doctrinal, Paul, they say, oh, Pastor Roberts is wrong. That brother's wrong. No. All these years, I've never, when I hear men say things that I wasn't aware of, I never threw it away. I didn't fight against them. I say, Father, you help me now. And this is the journey of faith. He brings us from faith to faith as he brings us to the light and the knowledge of his truth. He said, I saw a multitude which no man could number, or you could not put a number to it. That's all he was saying here. You could not fix it with a definite number. And if you look in your lexicon, it will show you that's what that means. You cannot put a fixed number. You can say, well, it looks like 100,000, maybe a million. And so that's what Yokohama saw. He said, you cannot put a definite fixed number on that multitude. You cannot say whether it was 300 million or 6 billion. You let the world tell you, they all go into the kingdom. These men say they're saved 10 million souls. Can't be. I don't believe it. But a man like Noah preached for 125 years of profound truth. And there were only 8 souls saved. But he always said unto Lot, he said, if you can find 10 righteous souls, if you can find, actually, if it wasn't for you, I would just destroy the place. He found nothing. Nothing at all. And they were steeped in the religious practice. They were steeped in the pagan worship as we do today. I don't take that back. Christmas and all these pagan holidays, they're pagan. They're based upon pagan things. There's nothing with Yahweh, a Messiah with some kind of tree, cutting it from the forest and decorating that. That's pagan. Eat this pagan. Where do you get eggs and all that trash? We should keep the Passover. And the Passover does not fall on the same day just like Easter. They will use the equal knot. We should keep Passover. For that's when the death malach of Yahweh passed over the houses of Israel. Those that had the blood on their doorposts. Not Easter. It is a pagan. Isn't that amazing? Because folks are so wicked, they won't even do the research. And they can see the origins of the word Easter, Esther, where it's come from. Yet they will not, they don't take the initiative to do that. And so what we would rather do, we would rather fight against someone who tells us things that we have not heard. We have not read for ourselves. Faith come by hearing. So he saw a multitude that there could not be a definite fixed number. That's all that means. There was not a definite fix. If someone looking here, they cannot give you a definite number. I can kind of do it because I know many people come. But if you saw 10,000 people, you cannot say that. Someone would say, oh, that looked like 1,000 people. Some say that. Was it there, honey? That's 5,000 peoples. So you cannot put a fixed number on it. When they have gatherings there in Washington on the Washington Monument, they use what they call photo images. And they say they will give you an estimate. They cannot tell you the fixed number of people. Some say we had 1 million. They say, no, it was only 600,000. No, we had 1 million, but no man can number that. So it is with this kingdom work. It's a very small remnant of the population that's going into the kingdom. I would define few by scripture, not by what dictionary says, but by scripture. He says, I saw that the nomad number, they came from all nations, different kindreds, people. There were different people and different tongues, and they stood before the throne. Now, what throne? Now, he said before the throne and before the Lamb. Now, if the Lamb has a name, Messiah, what is the one that sent him? If this man walked up to me in the day of Kepha and said, my name is Jim, well, who sent you? I want to know the one who sent you. You think the Messiah did not answer that question? Those Pharisees and scribes, they were very intellectual men. They knew scripture. Tell me, my friend, what scripture did Messiah preach out of? What book did he preach out of? He preached out of the book of Moshe. He preached out of the Torah. He preached out of the laws and the prophets. That's why he could not destroy what Moshe said of the prophets. Because if he did that, he would have destroyed his witness. His witness would have been a lie. And they knew that the Messiah was to come. How? By scripture. That's how they knew. They knew that. They knew the Messiah had come because by scripture. Scripture told them he was coming. There was no scripture. There was no New Covenant writings until about 25 years after Messiah was dead. None. Historians will tell you that. So what scriptures did they use only 25 years? And if we look at these letters, the epistles, they were personal letters to brothers. Saul, write unto Timothy. Yokohara John, wrote unto Geisha, his beloved brother. They were personal letters that were spread so that the wealth of the saints would know of this great witness that Messiah had given unto us. That's what they were. They were witnesses' accounts of what things transpired. They were letters. And Yahweh inspired them to write these letters, why, that we may have an example for this hour that we are in. That is why Messiah said, the Father cannot leave you comfortless. You pray earnestly. He said, I will pray to who? The Father. And he will send you another comforter who will abide with you forever. That's what he intended. That the comforter will comfort you by the things that he had already heard, and the things that were written and spoken, and the Spirit will speak unto your heart. And that's why you will need nobody to teach you. You will not be so easily deceived. But this is a wicked generation. Come on, you've been evil, not to give good gifts unto your children. Then how much more our Heavenly Father, what he said, will give the Spirit of the Kedush Ruah unto them that ask him. That's the truth. So there was no fixed number that they could actually put on that multitude. He cannot say there were 10 million or 20 million. He just saw a mass of people, multitude. A common folk, that's what he saw. Is that what America is telling us? Is that what these prophets are telling us? It's not. Is that what they're telling us? America is not going in. She's the most corrupt nation on the face of the earth. She's Babylon spiritually. She is. Everything she touches, she corrupts. Everything. She corrupts everything. She corrupts the minds of your children. They can't think right. Look, she controls the thoughts of your children. Her music, her televisions, they control the ability to think. They corrupt them even the greater. They impart unclean spirits into their heart. These are the avenues of the powers of hell. That's why your sons and daughters cannot, they are relentless in the video games and the television. They have no time for y'all or nothing. That's why women can lay all day long watching television and not take care of their homes like you always said, take care of their homes. Not honoring their husbands and reverencing their husbands. That's why men cannot love their wives. Why? Because these images that they're projecting today saying this is a woman. You talking about a whore that sleeps with every man? That's having babies by every man? That's not the spirit of Yahweh. You know about these little young daughters with their belly buttons open, short of coming into the house of Yahweh, dresses all up to their buttocks, trying to tease young men, and even the preacher's so afraid he can't say anything. You tell me that's the spirit of Yahweh lies. It's a corrupt thing. Spirit of aphrodisiac. just like those in Karana. It's a lust spirit. It's a sexual thing today. That's all it is. Why? Because there's a spiritual confrontation too, in the same fashion. An intimacy of the spirit. Yahweh intends his people to be holy, to be clean, to live that way. He doesn't tempt you to give 5 hours a day over to a television. You don't have 1 hour for him. How can that be? You love him? Lies. Can't be. A man spent all of his days trying to amass a wealth for a living, and it all shall go to the grave. Nothing. He's going to leave a heritage for his sons. I want to leave the name of my Messiah to my son. I can do all things through Yahshua Messiah that strengthened me. I'd rather leave that heritage than to leave $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000. I'd rather leave that heritage. The knowledge of the strength and the hope of Yahweh. Because when all that failed, then what? This is a corrupt nation. I said to the brothers yesterday, I said there are 300 plus million people in North America, United States and Canada. What a tragedy. A travesty. There's about $12.6 trillion worth of wealth between these two nations. And 3 million people control 75% of all the wealth. How can that be? So 75% of every dollar, 3 million people vie for that. And the other 25%, then the 297 million vie for that. You tell me that's justice? The scriptures say there's a sore evil in the land. A sore evil. It's a vexing evil. It is so wicked and so wicked. Mainly, the fraud of money kept back by the owners to their own hurt or their own deceit. That's why this nation is going to fall into the decadence of hell the way it is. Everybody's greedy today. They tell you, get saved. God wants you to have what you want to. You can have what you want to, not so. To have food and raiment, that would be content. No, food and raiment. To have clothing. My, what a blessing. When I look at the population of the world, most of the world has. It has nothing. And this ungrateful, unthankful generation, you give them a house 5 times this big. They see someone else with a house just a scintilla larger than theirs, they get jealous. I want that. They got faith for everything, but they have no faith in Yahweh. They don't have faith for Yahweh for nothing. They're liars and they're deceivers. And that's the truth. They don't trust the Father. He said, I saw this great multitude, or this multitude that no man could literally put an armor on them. No whatsoever. That there could not be any armor associated with them. But yet there was a multitude there. And the multitude of Yahweh there, he calls them the remnants. And you take a large piece of cloth, you cut a little piece off, that's the remnant. He calls his house the remnants. And they're scattered throughout the world. And they don't go by any title. They're not charismatic. They're not Pentecostal. They're not Baptist. They're just of the house of Yahweh. They just serve him. That's it. No title. They're just Yahweh's congregation or Yahweh's people. They're just assembly of Yahweh's people. They're assembling themselves together. That's all they are. That's it. Scripture says, I want to read this. I want you to understand this. There are only going to be a few saints that are going to make it into the kingdom. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Let us see what Scripture says. And in the authorized version, this is printed in red. It says this. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would do to men or you will want men to do to you. This is what Messiah says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. He said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, whatever way you want men to treat you, the way you want them to deal with you, what he said right there, he says, you do even so to them. You treat them with that kind of regard or that kind of honor. He did not say if he's a saved man or an unsaved man. The way you want any man to treat you, you treat him that way. You don't do him evil. You don't do him wrong. You treat him the same way you want him to treat you. He said, whatever way you want a man to treat you, you treat him that way. He said, for this, is that not what it says? For this is the law and what? So he did not do away with the law and prophets. He said, for this is what the law says. and the prophets say. So how is it that we reject what the prophets say? How is it that people will go to Malachi and pull out the blessings, or preachers will condemn folks when they don't give 10%? And yet you always say they're the worst even in the land because you deny my name. You will not honor my name. As the son honors his father, he says, if I be your father, where is my honor? And yet they will tell the folks, bring you 10%, you're cursed. He said, you're cursed because you do not honor my name. You are cursed, priest, because you will not show honor to my name. Is it any different than the curse to an honor to his name? He said, my name, or that they don't give that 10%? How is it that they go to Psalms, the 23rd Psalms, and quote that, and yet they don't even know what the Psalm says? They pull out of pieces that are convenient to them, and the rest they discard. That's just like sitting down at the table eating. You don't like collard greens, so you discard them. But you like fried chicken. See, that's the way they do your way. They say, I don't want that. I don't like that. That's against my doctrine. But I like that. Oh, I can see. You can go anywhere just sing. Everybody can do that. You go there. You go to the Baptist place or the Methodist. Anybody. And they all can sing all day long. And they like that. Sure they will. And then they get to singing something you haven't heard. Of course, the Baptists, they will sing a little different than the Pentecostal or the Charismatics. Someone stands up going down to the water to be baptized. Well, there are folks that hear that kind of singing and say, ooh, that going down to the water and I'm going to be baptized. Going down to the water and I meet my King Jesus. See, there are folks that inspire their hearts. They like that. See, they'll get to feeling good. Even the ones that never move now, they get to moving on something like that. And yet the truth doesn't move men today. They fight against it. I will declare his word in the simplicity of my vocation. No, I'm not an eloquent man. I'm not an educated man. But I do have the spirit of Yahweh that I have. He says, what does the law and the prophets say? Now, you've got to do what the law and the prophets say. He says in verse 13, he said, now what I tell you now, you strive or to enter ye in at the narrow or the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And he says, how many or few or many? And many there be which go in thereat. They go in at the broad way. They don't abandon their flesh. They tell them you can be a stripper and Christian. You can be a football player and break someone's back. You do your brother no evil, no wrong. You can be whatever you want to. You can play the role of a whore in Hollywood and say you're Christian. You can be a Jezebel and you're Christian. Sure you can. You can be a rapper and a Christian. We're going to bust you. We're going to kick you. We're going to say it. Come on, get naked. We're going to bam, bam, bam. Jump up, up, up. Well, I want to thank the Lord. I thank God for Jesus. Well, you're a Christian, huh? Well, we all know God. That's a common phrase today. Saul said there in Athens, say, you pray to an unknown God. You don't even know who you pray to. With a description, the unknown God. The unknown Elohim. I understand scripture. And so you can do anything today and say that you're a child of, quote, God. You can be a Charles Barkley and curse and raise hell and spew your drunkenness and your sins and you're a Christian today. Well, I know God. That's what they say today. That's the common terminology today. That's the seed of hell where my sharp tongue is planted in the minds of the folks. You must know Yahweh. If I say I know the governor of what state? If I know the president of what country? He has a name. Isn't that amazing? Because everything has a name except the Father. Do you ever think about that? Everything has a name. Everything. Even Gabriel and Michael, the Moroks of Yahweh, they have names. And yet the Father has no name. Every nation, every creeping thing, every bird, they all have names. What about the Father? We better find out what his name is. It's something because I had the commentaries of J.P. Green. And he says in the beginning of the commentary, he says, it is what we call the interlinear. It has the Hebrew and the Greek and the English. He says in the front of the book, well, we know that is his true name, Yahweh. But we don't have to change it. We don't have to abide by that. Because if we do that, we have to change the name of Jeremiah to Jeremiah. We have to change the name to Joseph to Yosef. What's wrong with that? It's right to do it. It's one thing this wicked world has done. They want to remove everything that is of the Yodim, or the Hebrew attachment to this Messiah. And that's what they have done. Sure, they have done that. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I'll tell you what, just do a research on the word God and see where it came from. Fast a day this week, or just lay down the plate instead of eating, filling your belly, or the God of your belly. Just trying to find out what it is. You tell me that Shaul called, he said, if this message be hidden from you, it's because the God of this world has blinded your eyes. Shaitan, you tell me he is of the same characteristic that Yahweh is? Huh? If Shaitan is the God of this world, then what is Yahweh? That's what Scripture says. We don't know Scripture. Hallelujah. It says this, he says, now you enter in at the straight gate because there's a broad way there and many will go therein. He says in verse 14, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. He said, and few there be that find it. They don't even find it. So the world says he wants everybody to find it. Not so. That is not so. That is not so. He allowed the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to be brought on the strong delusions. And that's what he's done to America. They brought on the same strong delusion. She's corrupt. Men justify her leaders. That's what they do. You know, the only thing you need to say in this nation is that I love the Lord. And they say, oh, Mr. Bush is a mighty man of God. Well, he is a mighty man of his God. I don't distrust that. His God, I believe that. Well, why don't you do something against him? Because I believe what Scripture says. The heart of the king is in the hand of Yahweh. And as the river turneth where the silver, that's why he turns the heart's king. The heart of the king. So I'm content with whom Yahweh has put there. Mr. Bush can't do me no harm. The Republicans, the Democrats, there's nothing they can do against me. For my hope is in him. My life is in him. I will not conform or capitulate to the standards that teach me to go against his laws. I will not do that. But I have no compunction with Mr. Bush God. Well, who is the God that Jesse Jackson served when he goes out here and do things that are just total egregious and wicked? What God are they serving? And yet they esteem in the highest fashions, don't they? Why? Because their gods permit those things. It allows them to do those things. Every man has his own God. The day that you eat of that tree, the day you disobey Yahweh, you become God. What is that? Know the difference between good and evil. Now that's what Scripture says. These are not my words. He said that's what you will become. Yes, I'm telling you that. You will know. And you will understand. And from that moment, the very seed that came forth out of Adam and Eve, there was one that was a righteous seed and a corrupt seed. Cain rose up and he slew Abel. That's what came forth out of that. A righteous and a wicked seed. A righteous and a wicked seed. Death began because of that supremacy and that identity that man says, I'm God. Nobody tells me. And throughout history, you have seen man trying to establish himself in the midst of the heavens. That's why they're doing it now.